Jack Horgan Jones's colleague Kitty Holland was writing today about the halting of tickets for hampers in the Capuchin Day Centre. They were stopped being handed out because of apparently chaotic scenes earlier this evening. Kitty Holland writing about that, as I say, in the Irish Times. The centre was set up 50 years ago to feed the city's poor and homeless. And Alan Bailey is manager of the Capuchin Day Centre, and he's on the line. Alan Bailey, thanks for joining us and sparing the time.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. And how are you after what happened earlier on today? I take it what happened. If you could tell us first of all, yeah, what happened and your own reaction to it.
Okay, if I can explain. Each Christmas, Christmas week, we give out a hamper to our clients, and that will be advertised for a few weeks in advance. So today we give out tickets, and people will come in next Tuesday morning and collect the actual hamper. It's just our way of knowing what figures we'll have in that. So we had advertised, as I say, within the centre, the fact that these tickets will be given out today. The queue started at 4:15 this morning. Yes. And at 7 o'clock, we had started packing our weekly food hamper. It's a weekly, every Wednesday week, we had a food hamper. And normally our numbers are somewhere in the region of 1,000 to 1,100. But this morning we did 1,300 because we knew that's going to be a little bit extra in looking for that food today because of the tickets being given out also. So we did 1,300 parcels, and we have a number of volunteers in helping to pack those. But by 9 o'clock this morning, those parcels were all gone. That's our 1,300. We're also at the same time, as I say, giving out the tickets for the hamper. There's a number of Gardaí in attendance because, you know, for crowd control and traffic restrictions and that. And then by about half ten, we were approaching 2,500 tickets having been issued. And at that stage, the Gardaí were advising us to draw back and stop giving out the tickets for our own safety. It became
right,
a lot of people.
Just no sign of the crowds dissipating, was there?
And as I say, it reached a stage where the Gardaí felt that maybe we should stop for a few minutes just to let the crowd kind of settle down. And they organised the crowd then, so we went back out, and by 11 o'clock, we had almost 3,000 tickets issued.
Jesus.
And that's for our parcel, which will be given out next Tuesday morning.
Right. And the people you're giving out these tickets to, what situations are they in, and what kind of things are in these hampers for them at Christmas?
Well, the hamper will contain enough to get you through, you know, a very decent Christmas dinner. But as regards to people, I mean, we're there, Colin, and we're non-judgmental, so we don't ask what your background is or what your circumstances are. If you need a ticket or need it, you know, just turn up and we'll give you one.
But the demand this year, unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
In your experience. And how long have you been volunteering with the Capuchin Day Centre?
Well, I was a volunteer since, I suppose I was involved at some level, since the mid-70s, since the early 70s, 1972, after Brother Kevin had set it up. And then throughout the 80s and 90s, I was on the board of directors. I was also a local guard at that time. And when I retired in 2011, I went in as manager. But certainly in my, I suppose, 50 years, one way or the other, involvement with the centre, I've never seen anything like the demand there was today.
All right, and what I suppose you don't ask them. So I suppose you don't know what has driven it this particular year, other than
if, as I say, Colin, Brother Kevin, from the very start, insisted that we don't ask questions.
Okay.
We don't ask why you're here, or you know, we're here to help. And following on that today, now at dinner time today, we distributed 644 dinners, hot dinners. Between 12:30 and 3 o'clock.
And will you be going back distributing the vouchers again tomorrow, or is that the end of the tickets?
The tickets for the hampers are gone now at this stage. I mean, we had 3,000 and they're all gone, exhausted completely.
Okay.
So next Tuesday morning, we'll be handing out the hamper.
Okay, Alan Bailey, manager of the Capuchin Day Centre, thanks very much for joining us on the line. I go to the panel just to get the reaction on that. Paul Donnelly, what do you make of that story this evening?
It's utterly depressing and saddening to think that there's 3,000 people queuing up today for food for Christmas. And I think it's an indictment of the government and the supports that have been put in place, because the statistics don't lie. You know, you've got thousands of people who are queuing up for food, for a hamper, for Christmas Day. You know, we have it every night. If you go on social media, I think the Muslim Sisters of Erin provide 400-500 meals every day. I know there's one in Grafton Street. There's a local resident of my area who supports that one in Grafton Street. They're all over the place. There are hundreds, thousands of meals being provided, food, clothing being provided every day. That shows that there is a dire need out there, that there are people who are in dire circumstances. And there's no doubt about it that the energy costs, I had one person on to me today trying to get support from the community welfare officer, €900 for an electricity bill and €600 for a gas bill. That is unsustainable for anybody, but for anybody who's on social welfare or anybody who's a working family on low pay, that is crippling.
All right, we'll come back to you. Mick Barry.
The scenes that were described by Alan Bailey are taking place in one of the richest countries in the world. And the scenes described are something in the past that you would have associated maybe with a Latin American country as opposed to a wealthy European country. In Cork, we have penny dinners. A reporter from a local radio station spent the day with penny dinners last week and reported that between 9 a.m. and 12:45 lunchtime, there were 900 food parcels handed out. And who were they handed out to? They were handed out to people who are homeless, people who are elderly, students, and workers on their lunch break who are coming down. It's like the United States now. We have the working poor. And the cold snap at the moment is a real factor in this. I spoke to a woman two nights ago who's spending €10 a day on electricity, €10 a day on gas, and €7 a day on coal and blocks. It's the house is poor BR rating. It's an old corporation house. She's going to go through her €200 energy credit on day 8 of this cold snap. Now, she said to me, "We'll be okay. We've got 2 wages coming into this house." But I can only imagine what it's like for someone who doesn't have any wage or a low wage coming in. And she's on a pay-as-you-go meter. And there will be people facing the possibility of disconnections over the Christmas period, in my opinion. It's heating or eating. And that's why you're getting the queues outside the centres at the moment, particularly this week.
Lorraine Clifford-Lee.
Yeah, it was very sobering listening to Alan talking about the 3,000 people that got the tickets there earlier on today and the almost 650 people that got a hot dinner at lunchtime. And I commend Alan and all his colleagues for the work that they're doing. And like Mick, I'm talking to people every day that are finding it difficult. And I suppose the message that I'm reiterating to them, something that Taoiseach spoke about during the week, is the community welfare officer is there to help. And Paul mentioned a constituent of his with very, very high bills there. The community welfare officer is there exactly to deal with this. And the Taoiseach has said during the week that people are to put the heating on and the bills will be paid. There are situations that are outside people's control. If they need heat, if they need food, the community welfare officer is there and to make themselves available.
All of the bills? All of the bills?
No.
Heating bills, yeah. If you're in a difficult situation, and the energy credit that was given will help towards some of it. There was a double fuel allowance payment given. The scope for the fuel the fuel allowance was widened as well to allow more people into it. So there's an awful lot being done. There was the double welfare payments in October, the double child benefit payment. We're going to have another fuel credit in January and then another one in March. So look, help is there. Nobody should be freezing in their house.
I'll come back to the panel for response, but Jack Horgan-Jones, this is what the OECD described as a country that's coping well with the fallout of Russia's invasion
of
Ukraine.
Very wealthy as well, which is just a point that Mick made. And, you know, Mick was saying that it was like something out of a Latin American country. You know, it's also, given the time of the year, it's kind of Dickensian, to be honest, you know. And what was happening in the time of Dickens is people relied on charity because the welfare state didn't exist. And we're now in a situation where the welfare state does exist. And, you know, there are extra payments coming through. But obviously, for whatever reason, it's falling short of the very real deprivation that does exist out there. Because otherwise, you would not have 3,000 people out looking for these hampers. And you wouldn't have the kind of... I was reading Kitty's report there while we were talking to Alan Bailey. And he described chaos, you know. And it's, you know, I think it's hard to get away from it being anything other than an indictment in some ways.
And yet, I suppose the government's income as a result of the multinational sector, it's growing, but it's that growth is slowing. The money is still coming in. But what was the OECD's advice in terms of coping with cost of living crises and how the government should spend it?
Well, so the OECD had one of their reports out on the economy that they issue every so often. And effectively, it was kind of in line with what the Department of Finance was saying at budget time. And, you know, a picture emerging where Ireland... in the round, or I suppose at a headline level, when you look at the top line macroeconomic figures, is performing quite well, but we're not going to be able to escape the kind of the crunch that's happening across the entire world and that kind of global economic slowdown, and that you have a much increased cost of living, and that is going to put real incomes under pressure, and you're going to see a reduction both in GDP, GNI growth, and also modified domestic demand in the next 12 months, in the next budgetary period. And what they're saying effectively is that you should not, or to the greatest extent possible, the advice is that you should not rely on windfall corporation tax receipts in order to kind of backstop households. But of course, I'm not sure that really will meet with the political reality that exists on the ground, where the government has to some extent kind of fashion this doctrine where it will come up with the money to backstop firms and households.
But that's why the government decided not to increase across the board, but rather to have these parachute payments that they can be put in when we have the money there. And if the tax take falls back a bit, that, you know, that we're not committed to
the 200 euro that's coming in January, is that going to be the end of the story for help with energy bills?
No, there's another 200 then coming in March. But that's what's been announced.
Would you anticipate that that'll be the end of it, given what we've just heard there and the impact?
Well, we don't know. And
of energy bills.
The OECD report did say that if there are going to be once-off measures, they need to be more targeted, which I think is a sensible approach. We needed the universal payments. That was the quickest way to get money to people. But I suppose we have a bit of time now to plan for more targeted, exactly,
your own partners in government, Fine Gael, want that to be at a universal basis. And they've insisted every time. I think there's now been three iterations of the fuel payment, and there's going to be five by the end of the winter heating.
We're three different parties.
Fuel heating season. They've insisted that it's universal at every stage. So, I mean, it's likely that it's going to continue being universal. We have three different parties
in government. We all have our own take on
things. Let's get to the rest of the panel. Temporary and targeted measures, Mick Barry, or something for everyone?
There's just one point I want to draw attention to. I was trying to get in there. It's in relation to the flow of cash tax take for the government. Because there was an incredible figure that hasn't been sufficiently commented on in general, in my opinion. That in the last month, there was a 5 billion income in terms of corporation taxes. Right? Now, if you think about that, it's meant to be 12.5%. Right? If 5 billion is 12.5%, that's 40 billion in profits. But the real rate is not 12.5%. The last year that we have stats for is 2020. And the real rate of corporation tax in 2020 was 6.1%. Now, if it's 6.1%, that's closer to 80 billion plus made in the space of a month. Essentially, the point that I'm making
is... the notional gains of a higher tax rate are going to butter no parsnips for people at the moment, are they?
Yes, but essentially the point that I'm drawing attention to here, we're not going to have time to tease out all the implications of it. But at the same time as we have that report from Alan Bailey and those scenes taking place in Dublin today, or 1,000 people coming to penny dinners in a day, We have corporations in this country making fabulous profits.
Okay, but just before I move on to Paul Donnelly, temporary and targeted or universal, what's your own take on help for people to pay their energy bills? Universal payments or targeted payments to those on the lowest incomes?
It should be universal. So in other words, it's not just the poorest who get it. But working people who are on average incomes or even slightly more than average incomes. But the way in which you claw it back then is that you have real wealth taxes and real taxes on the rich in society.
All right. Paul Donnelly.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think we need both. You know, I think we need universal for everyone, because there's a lot of people who don't qualify for anything, who are outside, and some of them will be marginally outside some of the rates where you would qualify for any payments. And they're in dire need, as much as somebody who's getting the basic social welfare payment. So the ones in the social welfare payment spend absolutely everything. Law workers pay absolutely, spend every single penny. And then there's another section who, in normal times, would have a few quid over, and they have nothing left now. So they've been brought into that bracket. So I think we need both.
So on those measures, let's say energy bills, the one of the main drivers that would seem of people going and seeking extra help, what would you do on energy bills?
Well, I think we need to make sure that people can pay their bills. That's the basic thing. If we've got 5 billion, if we're talking about billions that's been taken in extra in 1 month in taxes, you know, we talk about rainy days, you know, it's lashing. It's lashing for people. So let's.
So you're in favour of the universal payments rather than targeted.
I would use both. I would absolutely use both. There are so
that's
many
what the
people.
Government does.
I would say there are so.
It is. They've done universal and they've done targeted.
Here's the thing. It's not
There's
enough.
There's great agreement between Sinn Féin and the government tonight in this studio.
I was just about to make the same comment.
It's not enough. Because it's
But there's
clear.
More coming.
So would you cap bills? Is that it? You'd cap bills and pay their... Or would you pay some...
But remember,
bills
we have somewhere between the region of 300 million and 1.9 billion that's going to come in from the energy companies. Mm-hmm. We would also use that to help people pay their bills.
Sorry, Colin, could I just remind Paul, actually, that Sinn Féin were actually advocating a cap.
Yes, we did.
And then that's what brought down Liz Truss. Because the markets said this is absolutely bonkers and you can't be trusted. But that's you were actually following her
Seriously.
Plan,
right.
And that's why the markets went mental.
In England, come on.
Well, Paul, you're the one that your party were the ones that followed you. You might forget about it, or you might want to forget about it.
I come to McBurry,
but you were following the Tories.
I just
plan.
Want to go to some of the texters here. Somebody from texting in, Rita in Newport, texting in saying we're suffering from an unequal distribution of wealth. That's our problem, says Rita. And then somebody else texting in to say there's no such thing as a community welfare officer anymore. You have to apply for an appointment, and if you're really lucky, you get a chance to put your case to someone with a 2-week waiting list.
Absolutely.
That's
and
true,
we,
yeah.
We had them in the committee today. We actually had.
Okay. So let's go to Mick Barry first and we'll come back on this.
For every 3 community welfare officers that were there 10 years ago, there's 1 now. The numbers have been decimated. And the government are saying, okay, let's you know, move with the times. And now you ring and you have the conversation over the phone. You can be ringing and waiting an average of 40 minutes now. To have a conversation with the community welfare officer. And if the government solution is everyone go to your community welfare officer during the cold snap and over the next, couple of weeks, as an alternative to saying, OK, the gas and electricity disconnections moratorium is extended to everybody.
What would you do on energy bills then?
I would go for the cap, but I would link it to nationalisation of the energy sector.
How long would that take?
So, say for example...
How long would it take? Because, I mean, people are obviously going to need to pay the bills.
Okay, we have a semi-state company, the ESB, right? The ESB is making €2 million profit a day, €679 million last year. The government should change the mandate of the ESB, and instead of aiming towards those type of profit margins, it should operate on a not-for-profit basis. If it was able to do that, it would be able to seriously cut the electricity prices, seriously be able to cut the gas prices. I don't think the private companies would be able to compete with them.
All right. Paul Donnelly,
just in relation to the community welfare officers, we actually had them in front of the committee today, and every single TD and senator stated the huge problems that people are having trying to access the community welfare services, and also the fact we talk about that it's an exceptional needs payment. So it's very difficult for people to go back again and again and again. when they're trying, when they're getting constant bills coming through, they're not getting them. They're not getting that support. They're not getting that funding.
Do you think nationalising the energy?
No,
companies?
We wouldn't support nationalising the energy companies. I think obviously we need to keep the infrastructure in place, but no, I think that horse.
Sinn Féin should support that, by the way. I think.
Yeah, well, I'd like to maybe remind Mick about the communist utopias and in Central and South America that have rolling blackouts and everything, and that's from their nationalised power companies.
Right. Okay.